Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
So this weekend, today, this week, I want you to get excited. We're finishing up the book of John. So today we're going to be in chapter 21. And to me, this is a perfect ending to the gospel message. To me, this has enlightened me and encouraged me on what I need to be and how I need to be as a Christian. This is going to summarize it all for us, hopefully, today. So I'm going to start reading. Again, I'm in John, verse 21, and I am going to read this whole chapter. I am not the best reader out loud. I can remember being in fourth grade and not being able to read out loud while the other kids were just nailing it. It's a little embarrassing. So bear with me, yeah? This is Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, only about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is it to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Amen. Yes, let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your big picture plan for your people, for this world. We thank you that you sent your son Jesus to offer his life for our sin, to raise from the grave and show that we have victory in our death, that we can overcome our death living and rise from the grave just as you did, Jesus. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here this morning. We ask that you teach us and grow us and fill us to overflowing. We're here to be filled by you so that we can go out from here and sort of overflow and ooze onto our community just as your heart desires, Father God. So teach us this morning. Use me, please, Father God, to just touch a chord with somebody in here. If just one person hears something about your love, then we've done our job, Father God. I trust in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So today's title is The Heart of Jesus is to Redirect. Redirection. I love that thought. The first thing that I want to talk about and kind of just touch on is this thought of times of lack of faith and times of doubt. And I think that in our Christian walk, I know definitely outside of our Christian walk, maybe prior to being Christians, we know about this, but even after we've given our hearts to God and we've been baptized and we're now serving God and we're disciples, we still have times where we're lacking faith or we're having doubt and like, what's going on? My plans are this, but my life is this. My thoughts are not aligning with how things are going. Have you had seasons of times in your life where even though you trust in the Lord, you just feel fear about the future, about your finances, about your relationships, whatever that may be? How about fear about the state of this broken world? Like you turn on the news, and it doesn't matter what you turn on, Fox or CNN, it's like, we're hearing some stuff. And it's definitely, to me, as I just sit in the Word, I recognize the news as kind of a, oh, Satan, yeah, you're at work, like, shocker. And I want to say this, as Christians, I feel like the Lord is calling on us to be bringing the good, because Satan's working hard to bring the bad. And if he's working hard, I just want to encourage you. I think that because we're the winning team, we shouldn't be resting knowing that we're the winning team. We should be working even harder to show the world and remind the world that we are the winning team in Jesus, through Jesus, because of Jesus. Can you recall a time when you found yourself feeling so secretly like insecure because you were crippled by doubt and had a huge lack of faith? Is anyone brave enough to, you don't even have to raise your hand, just be brave enough to have the thought in your heart right now. I have been so, at times, I'm not saying you've been spending the last 10 years or the last 20 years, etc. I'm just saying, have you had moments where it's like it's been hard to get out of bed because you're just overwhelmed with fear or doubt or shame? Have you ever had a Sunday where you're just like, it's so bad that I don't even want to go to church? Me too. To those of you that were brave enough to just say yes in your own heart. So I cannot help but feel that Peter had some self-worth issues and faith issues because of the fact that we all know that he denied Jesus 3 times. As Jesus was being led to the cross, his boy, Peter, was like, no, I don't know him. 3 times. How does that feel? Jesus died on the cross, rose from the grave, and has come back to his disciples 2 times. And now we just heard about the 3rd time. How does it feel in Peter's heart to know that, dude, what kind of friend was I? I denied him. I denied my Savior. I denied my rabbi, my teacher, my hero. I denied him. To me, that would bring some insecurity within. Listen to what he said. Listen to this. And I heard this as insecurity. Peter says, I'm going to go out fishing. I'm going fishing. And his homies that were there, they're like, well, we'll go with you. They followed him. But I want to take a look at Matthew 4, verses 18 and 20. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw 2 brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Right? We're reminded right now, Peter was a fisherman. And so, I'm going fishing. But Jesus says, no, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And at once, they left their nets and they followed him. They gave up their profession. They gave up what they knew. They gave up their level of comfort, and they followed Jesus. They gave up their old life, and they followed for the new life. Are we tracking? You guys with me? Jesus called Peter away from one thing to teach him a new thing. And I really believe that that's what we're doing here this morning. That's why we're here. Because there was a day in time where we were doing one thing, and we heard this, oh, stop. Come and follow me. And the reason that we followed and are now going to church, and the reason that we followed and now we're reading our Bible, and the reason that we're following and we now go on YouTube and we watch more healthier stuff instead of that dark stuff, there's a reason for that. It's because the Holy Spirit is saying, follow me. I want you to come off of that shoreline where you're in the deep water of death, where you're looking at pornography, where you're using drugs, where you're so insecure you're going to men that are mean, where you're so insecure that you're going after women that are married to another man. Fill in the blank. We've done it all of us. We've done it all. If we put all of our sin together in this room from the past, we could fill in all the blanks. We'd all be great at it. We know what we've done. But the good news is that he's saying, follow me. Follow me. That we don't have to live that way anymore. In Isaiah 43, 18 through 21, it says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me. The jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. That literally God had no problem with us sinning because he knew he was going to send his son to die for us. And when we receive that, then this scripture that we read literally becomes true. The people that I formed for myself. Are you kidding me? He formed us with this sinful nature, knowing that we were going to taste the forbidden, only to turn and give our lives to him. He knows it. We don't have to live in shame anymore. I often, you know where Satan tries to grab me? I'm sorry about this picture, but, you know, I'll be trying to cleanse myself. I'll take a shower, and Satan will remind me about some awful things and who I used to be. And I'll go, no. That's not your voice, God. I'm not listening to that right now, because that's not you talking to me, Father God. And I'll start praising him for what he's done in me and the things that he's poured into me. And now I'm made new and made whole because of him. But my point is that I want you to look at this thing. He was pulled away. Jesus said, follow me. I have a new way for you. And there's this thought where he says, I'm going to go fishing. And I want you to be encouraged that, have you ever had this thought, you know what, I'm done with church. I'm done with reading my Bible. It's not giving me the results that I'm hoping for. I'm going to go back to my old way. Actually, things were working a little bit better back then. And all I'm saying is, if you've had those thoughts, me too. And so did Peter. Because he had doubt and fear and hurt in his heart about how he had denied Jesus 3 times. And he says, you know what? I'm going back to my old way. I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to forget all those things that I was taught by my Messiah, by my rabbi, by my teacher, by my hero. I'm just going to let it all go because I don't know what to do. You ever feel like that? There's no reason for me to go to church. There's no spot for me there. I don't feel like I fit in anymore. It used to feel like my church, but it's not my church anymore. I used to want to lead a small group, but I don't think I'm going to let somebody else do that. I'm full of, you know what? I'm remembering the past. Peter was caught up dwelling on the past rather than stepping into the new calling and anointing. He is secretly wanting to hear more from his teacher, but couldn't. I like this quote. It's an anonymous quote. I don't know who quoted it, but it says, when you are going through difficulty and wondering where God is, remember, the teacher is always quiet during the test. We all remember being in school, or, you know, and it's like Friday and it's test day. So put everything away, and teacher passes out the paper with the questions on, and all you have is a pencil, and it's like, be quiet till the last person's done. It's silent. And oftentimes when we're going through our difficulties, we're wondering, God, why aren't you speaking? Why can't the kingdom just be noisy right now? God, open up the heavens, please. I'm struggling. I don't hear anything. No one's given me a fresh word. My Christian friends, they're not even helping me with this. I've called them. They're not helping. Why is it so silent? Why? Because it's test time. And brothers and sisters, we all have test time. Where we're going through some stuff where it's not that God's testing us. It's just that he's leaving us alone. He's giving us an opportunity for some solitude. To literally sit in silence and expect nothing but silence, because we already know where the victory is and where the victory comes from and who the victory is in. We should know. But in the testing, we forget. Peter forgot. I'm going fishing. I've had brothers that forgot. They're like, dude, I'm doing pornography again. I started drinking alcohol again, because there's times of forgetting. Well, I'm here to say, okay, You're forgiven. Now let's have and step into times of refreshing. Amen? Jesus is calling us to forget the former things. Don't dwell on them. And follow him in every area of our lives. I love this picture of don't look back on your old things. When we look back, it's bad. God gets mad when we look back. I'm talking about Old Testament stuff, not New Testament stuff now. So don't let's bring a little clarity around that. But God shows that when we look back, it is in his character to be upset or hurt. Look forward to the new things. If you did something this week that's been killing you, you're like, man, I shouldn't have done that. What am I doing? Let it go. Let Satan go. That's like a relationship with Satan. Let it go. Grab somebody and admit your sin and move on. Pray about it. Secondly, Jesus shows up for his disciples in their times of lack of faith and doubt. So we've seen Peter having doubt. Okay, we know what he did. He's going fishing. I don't want to talk about who showed up. I often will think about, like, if I were to die today, who would be at my funeral or something like that, you know? Like, would anyone show up? Would anyone be there? Would anyone be brave enough to come up and talk about Matt Thompson and what he did and what he brought? Would there be anyone? I don't know. You know? So here's Peter in his time of doubt, and he doesn't know what to do, so he's going to go back to his old way. And I just want to say, I want to look at this. Who showed up for him in his time of need? Because he wasn't sharing with his friends that he was hurting. He just said, I'm going fishing, follow me. He wasn't talking about his emotions. He wasn't sharing his lack of faith. Men don't do that. We don't do that. I remember my gallbladder. I didn't even know it was my gallbladder, but I was suffering from pain. I wasn't even trying to go to the doctor. I wasn't even willing to do that. My wife had to, like, break me down, you know? Like, you have to go. We just, so I think it's probably the same for women. I don't think men are just special like that. I think that women are a little bit more disciplined, and they will open up sooner than men. But I know this. We all have secrets that we just are keeping inside of us. And who's going to show up for you during those times? Have you ever found yourself in a bad predicament based on your decision that was made in a time of doubt? Have you ever found yourself in a bad predicament because you were zero faith? Zero faith. You're in a season of zero faith. Haven't read your Bible. Just went to church just to check it off the list. Haven't done anything that Jesus has asked you to do. And now you're in a predicament and you're going, what in the heck is going on? You ever been there? Watch this. In John 21:6, he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. Peter goes out to go fishing. They fish all night and nothing happens because he's in a season of fear and he's holding it all in. And if we want, we can surrender at any time to our King. And this is the type of thing that happens when we surrender. Jesus did this to show us his character. He will simply say, stop doing what you're doing on the left and come over here to the right. You've got your net thrown out over here. Throw it out over there. See, it doesn't really make sense for them to be fishing with a net thrown here and not catching anything, and they just change the net's trajectory, you know, 8 feet, and then there's fish. That doesn't make sense. God doesn't have to make sense. He's God, and he does what he wants. So if you're struggling with this little thing in life over here, and you simply take on the posture of this, Lord, I can't do it. I'm nothing without you. I know that you died for me, and I want to live for you. Will you help me? He'll take this, move it 8 feet or whatever increment he wants to, and he'll say, now let's look at this. And it's a new life. It's a new way. It's freedom. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead and came and showed his disciples the victory over death and to share the news of the grace that is available to those that stop in their time of doubt and hear the voice of the Savior call out with a direction on how to overcome the lack of faith. Jesus will provide a direction for us to go. Jesus changes the trajectory of Satan's plan. It's like opening up your iPhone and using the directions or the map, you know? And you've been trying your whole life just to get to this one thing that you've been longing for. I just want to get to this place in my life that I've just been longing for. But Satan's been messing with the direction. And when we surrender, Jesus says, whoa, let's recalibrate that map situation. Because that's not the way to the thing that you want. And that's not the way to the thing that I want for you. So I'm going to help you get there. That thing that you want so badly, I'm going to suggest this. Often things that we want so badly, like that are really good things, they're there because Jesus put them on our heart. That thing that we want so badly is aligned with his heart. But it's how we're trying to get there that's corrupt. Follow me, Jesus says. Jesus came out and was there for his disciples. He was there for Peter. He was there for the one who denied him. So this morning, again, listen to this grace message. Have you denied Jesus? We all denied God before we knew him. That's not what we're talking about here. Has anyone denied Jesus since you've been saved? Since you've told your friends, I'm a Christian. Since you told your coworkers, I'm a Christian. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I serve. And then you denied Jesus in some way? Zechariah 13:7 says, awake, sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is close to me, declares the Lord Almighty. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered, and I will turn my hand against the little ones. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter. Is that what Satan did? He struck the shepherd. He put the shepherd on a cross. He nailed him to a cross. He murdered our Messiah. And the sheep scattered. Even so much so that the closest to him, Peter, a disciple of Jesus, one of the 12, says, no, I don't even know him. Everyone scattered. God is not scared of this. This is actually prophesied by Zechariah. So now what? The enemy thought he solved the problem of Jesus. Let's get rid of this kingdom talker. Let's get rid of this man who's proclaiming God and his goodness. Let's get rid of this guy by nailing him to the cross and sending him to the grave. And Satan only helped to accomplish the will of the Father. And so Jesus rose from the grave for us. And the Holy Spirit is here to gather back into the shepherd's gates. The Holy Spirit wants us to bring us back into the garden. Bring the sheep back to the shepherd. Satan thought that he could get them all scattered and no one would know Jesus and it would be solved, that he would have full reign and full victory over all his people. But no, that is not the message. The message is the victory is in Jesus because he rose from the grave. And so can we. Have you been living in fear, doubt, and lack of faith? I just want to ask you again. I believe that these four walls are not a place for us to come and check the box about going to church. I believe that this is a place where we know that the Holy Spirit is dwelling. where we can come in and empty this rotten stuff that's inside of us. We can bring it and say, I'm leaving it here at the foot of the cross, and I'm walking out of there filled with the Holy Spirit. I am not giving in to this temptation. It is not going to have victory over me anymore. I'm tired of living a life of sin. I think that we have this thing where it's like, if we admit that we believe in Jesus, that we admit that we've been baptized, we admit all these things about Christianity, and then we're afraid to talk about, or we don't talk about, the fact that we go on sinning even though we've done all this stuff. And it takes hold on us, and it rules us. And as your pastor, I say no to that. Satan, you're not welcome here. You're not welcome in any heart, in any mind, in any soul. You're not welcome here. Satan, I'm not afraid of you sitting in these chairs. And I'm not afraid to tell you to get out of the room, because you're not welcome here. We are here for the Spirit to dwell in us. We want to live for you, Jesus. Do you hear that, God? We want to live for you. We want to be directed by you. We want every area of our lives to be for you, regardless of how it looks to the rest of the world, to our family or to our workplace, to our coworkers. We don't care. Another quote, this is coming from author Louis Giglio, says, God walks into our fear not to condemn us for it, but to remind us who he is. God will walk right into your fear. And when God walks into the fear, it doesn't seem like condemnation. When God walks into our fear, it feels like freedom. When Satan walks into the fear, it feels bad. So if you've done something and you're feeling terribly about it, Satan, you're not welcome here. That's what you tell him. You're not welcome in my body. This is a temple of the Lord Most High. This is a place where my God wants to dwell. You're not welcome in this body. I know I've sinned, and I'm not in denial. I'm okay with it because I'm suffering in my flesh. I'm okay with suffering, but I'm not okay with you continuing to dwell and run this body. This is a dwelling place of my Savior. You're not welcome here. Be gone. Father God, come and heal me. Restore me, please. God reminds us who he is when he meets us in our fear. He met Peter on the beach. Have you not caught anything? God met Peter right in his fear. Are you guys tracking with me? Jesus is reminding us today that even in the act of our self-centeredness, in our fear, that he's very close. He has a victory plan that points back to him and away from what the world has to offer. He is drawing us back into his gates, back into the garden, back into the shepherd's field. Last point. Jesus forgives and he redirects. Let's take a moment and ponder where we have been a little off in our walk with Jesus. Where we've been a little not what Jesus has been asking us and leading us to be. Let's just take a second. God, I know you've been wanting me to do this. I know that you've been wanting me to step out in faith and do this thing, but I haven't been able to do it because I've been blocked by something other than you. Has there ever been a wall that's blocked you from the thing that you know God is trying to take you to the other side, but the wall just will not come down? Have you ever been there? With these thoughts in mind, let's consider the grace and mercy that God has always had for us and has right now as we humbly ponder our fears and our doubts and maybe even our lack of faith. He's asking for humble hearts. In John 21:17 this morning, we read, it says, the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? The third time he's asking, Peter, do you love me? And as I mentioned before, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And listen to this. How many times have you denied Jesus? This is what it looks like for us. 3 times Jesus came back and says, do you love me? He's forgiving Peter for every time that he denied him. Somebody in this room needs to hear this. You're forgiven. I love you. Do you love me? This is the question this morning for you. Do you love me? Do you love Jesus? Do you love what he's done on the cross? Do you love that he died, that he rose, that he came and showed himself to his disciples, and that he ascended to the right hand of the Father? Do you love him? That's a very personal question. It's a rhetorical question. It's something for you to ponder this morning. Take it home and pray about it. Jesus redirects. He doesn't say, continue fishing. He doesn't come to start a bonfire, to cook some fish and some bread, to say, you know what, Peter? You're right. Just keep going on with your old ways. That wasn't his plan for Peter. He shows up, says, I forgive you, in his own way. Do you love me? I forgive you. And then he says, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And I know in my heart that I am not like some profound speaker. And maybe shouldn't even be up in a pulpit at any church with a microphone talking about I know God and I understand the Bible with through and through and I'm a theologian hero. I'm not. But I know this. I was a sinner and I'm not anymore. I was chained and I'm not anymore. And God told me, feed my sheep. And so I'm here regardless of how many people sit in these chairs on a Sunday morning. Because it doesn't matter about numbers. What it matters about, somebody's hearing that they're freed and forgiven and that God has a plan for them. And that we don't have to go back to our old ways. What does it mean to you this morning to hear, feed my sheep? Because if God can just be talking to a little fisherman, you know what I mean? I'm thinking he's talking to a normal person in Peter. And I'm seeing a room full of normal, just normal people. Feed my sheep. What does that mean to you? And I feel like it's time to stop shying away from what it is that God wants you to do. Stop using the excuse that maybe someone else will just take care of that. We got 2 pastors. Pastor Matt and Allison, they got it. They'll do it. This is out of love. This is out of encouragement, not condemnation. This is personal. What is God talking to you? What is God saying to you? Jesus called Peter away from his life. Jesus taught Peter the way. So Peter knows which way. He knows the way. He just needed a reminder, feed my sheep. He's got the new map. He's all good. He's plugged in. He's attached to the internet, the kingdom internet, and he's not going to lose connectivity there. Dr. Tony Evans says this, in Christ, failure is never final. His forgiveness redefines your future. Whatever you've done, that chapter's over. The second that you start releasing the authority to Jesus, saying, you are all authority. Do what you want in me. You are loved by God this same way that Peter was loved. Do you receive that? This morning, I want to encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to redirect your thoughts, that they would align with the direction, the redirection that Jesus has planned for you since before you were in your mother's womb. I want to remind you that the direction that God has for you, this is not a new direction. He had it plotted out a long time ago. I'll close with this. I want us to go this week and seek the face of the Lord for direction and peace. You have homework. Pastor's assigning homework. In your own way. In no one else's way. In no one else's style. Let's not be copying the internet. Let's not be copying people that are... There's a lot of people that are making it onto like YouTube because... whatever, they're getting a lot of likes, and I don't know. I tend to think they're just good-looking people, right? I mean, let's face it. That's why we watch TV and movies and Hollywood and stuff, and it's all beautiful people, and the enemy is lying to us that way. It's very deceiving and deceptive. Okay, let's make this thing personal and not make it so pretty. What I'm saying is, we don't need to be copycats of what the world's doing and how they're seeking God via the internet. We don't have to do that via the way that Pastor Matt says to do it. Or I've been watching Pastor Matt for the last 2 weeks, and here's how he's doing it, so I'm going to copy. Just do it the way that the Holy Spirit's leading you to do it. And go and seek him in a quiet place, however that is. And pray however he is leading you to pray. Psalm 27:1 says, this is a psalm of David, says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" I just want to declare over this church and over God's people in this church this morning that we are not going to back down. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and we're going to stand in that posture, knowing who we are and whose we are.
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.